Good, amen. It's all good. But seriously, this morning we had Sunday school, and have you ever taught a class and you just felt like, I want to do more? And we didn't finish it, you know? And so tonight I really felt a burden that I wanted to kind of finish the Sunday school for the adult class and get into that, because it's such a tremendous message to us. Let me say something tonight. The Puritans were noted for making their calling and election sure. They were noted for being careful to be sure that they were truly born-again Christians. And there's a lack of that today. But some people go the other way, and they constantly are looking in and looking within and not assured of their salvation. My grandfather Bloom, he came from a bunch of Dutch people called the Naderdykes, and they believed in the sovereignty of God and all this, but they struggled with the assurance of salvation. And I believe that our great God wants us to be assured of salvation. He wants us to be assured of salvation. And I pray for the people of this church that we would have a deep, well-grounded assurance of our eternal salvation. And we talked about the two cities today, but tonight I am thinking of a blessing that is a great blessing, and it's in your scripture reading for today. Now, we're going to Romans 8, and that's where you're going to be, but there is a blessing that was in your scripture reading today, and it's in the Psalms, and the blessing is in Psalm 32. I'll quote it to you, verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says there. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, you know the man that wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That was King David, the great man of God, who was a man after God's own heart. And he talked about the number one blessing that we can have in this life. Greater than a husband, greater than a wife, greater than a family, greater than riches, greater than any other blessing in this life is the blessing of not having your, it says right here, not having your sin or your iniquity imputed to your account. As I speak to you tonight, David is in heaven. As I speak to you tonight, David is preparing to be the prince over all Israel in the kingdom of God. And as I speak to you tonight, the Star of David represents Israel. This man is blessed. But wait a minute, he's a man that we know for doing iniquity. What is he doing in heaven? He committed adultery with one of his great soldiers, his wife. He then tried to cover it up by committing murder through his general of this great man who was one of his great men. And I'm saying to you, he's in heaven. Why is he in heaven? He's in heaven because the Bible says, and David himself wrote it, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. You see, God has a people, and he said, I'm going to give them grace, not give them what they deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. David doesn't deserve to be in heaven. David doesn't deserve to be the prince of Israel. But he said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not charge me for the sin that I have committed and the sins that I have committed and the iniquity in my life. I am blessed to be that kind of a person. Now, David wrote that in Psalm 32, but that is then used by the writer, the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 4 as an example of how people in the Bible were made right with God and able to have eternal life and live forever. And how is it? Through simple faith. David is an example. He was saved by God's grace through the gift of faith that God gave him to see and to believe that great blessing that he's talking about there in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, by the way, in the Old Testament, when David sinned or Abraham sinned, their sin was not paid for. They did not have righteousness. Some people say, well, they were counted righteous. No, they were not declared righteous yet. Their sin was covered. The Hebrew word is kafar. It's kind of like you have a blot here and you cover it up. The animal sacrifices covered the sin temporarily until those sins could be paid for. So they were saved by credit. And they were not yet declared righteous. They were not allowed into heaven. David didn't go to heaven when he died. Abraham didn't go. They went to Abraham's bosom, a place at the center of the earth, until it was paid for. Well, what was credited to them? Their faith was credited to them in place of righteousness, which would come later. Their righteousness would come later. They had faith that God was going to provide somebody that would take care of sin, and it would be the Messiah, and the animal sacrifices were offered in faith that God would provide himself a lamb. Amen. Like it was said to Abraham. Thank God tonight we celebrate 2,000 years ago, the Lamb of God appeared. The Lamb of God that doesn't cover the sin of the world. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. And that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Washed away by a blood that's more superior than any lamb ever offered by Adam or Abel or no, those could not take away sin. But he did it once and for all and forever. The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, he said, it's finished. And so tonight, the greatest blessing that you can have is to know all of your sins were charged to the account of Jesus Christ. And when he walked up to that cross, and I went up that Via Della Rosa, I went up that place where he carried his cross. I went there in 2016 with my wife. My wife and I, we saw, he went there, we saw the place of the skull, and immediately I knew that's where he died. And there he carried our sin. As Matt quoted that verse in 2 Corinthians 5, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be credited with his perfect righteousness. That he lived on this earth when he lived a perfect life. That perfect life under the law is put to your account. Give up any hope of getting there by works of the law. Give it up. Repent of trusting it. Repent. That's what repentance of the gospel means. That you're convicted of sin. You realize you can't save yourself. And you give up any hope of saving yourself. And you look without. That's why Spurgeon was told by that lay preacher from Isaiah, the quote from Isaiah, the prophet, where Jesus speaks in the Old Testament. He says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. And Spurgeon was so troubled every time he heard another message from another man of God. There was another work he had to do to be sure he was saved. And that lay preacher said, young man, just look. That's all you do. By the way, that's what faith is. It's a look. It's a look where you look away from yourself to Jesus, and your sin is taken away forever. And that is the greatest blessing. As Brother Bobby Bajeski said in our class this morning, I said, what is justification? He says, it's God on the throne, the judge of all the earth, and he declares you righteous. Perfectly righteous, as though you had lived a perfect life that Jesus lived. Because when you believe on Jesus and you look to Jesus, all your sins have been charged to his account and paid for by his death, burial, resurrection. And his perfect obedience is charged to your account. And you're treated as though you're perfect. And so we talk about the message of the Bible, and especially the book of Romans, and it is the gospel of justification. Can I tell you something tonight? You need to be happy. You say, oh no, Pastor, I can't be happy. Well, what does the Bible say? Rejoice in the Lord always. Your middle name should be Joy. Rejoice! Joy! What's joy? It's in Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Nothing for me to do. I accept it. I'm not going to put a question mark where God put a period. I'm justified by God's undeserved favor. I deserve hell, yes, but Jesus took it all and paid it all for undeserving Gentile dogs like you folks that are here tonight and me. That's right. That's right. Not just Jews like David, but undeserving Gentiles like us. He delights to save us. And so this is a great thing. And as if that's not enough, tonight I want to talk to you about some more blessings which God wants you to be assured of, because you have the blessing of being justified by grace through faith. And we talked about one of those blessings, and I'd like to start there this evening. And the blessing is, and the message is, more blessings of which you can be assured. You know, think about that song. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord's done. You know, we can count our financial blessings, and we do have those. We can count, you know, health blessings. I think of all the things I get in my life, and God just keeps healing me of all these things. I'm convinced this is a bioweapon that we just got hit with, you know. But God keeps healing us and bringing us through all these things. But the greatest blessings are spiritual blessings. They're real. And he wants you to be assured, listen to me, that you have these blessings because you have the blessing of justification through faith that we just talked about, and you've laid hold of that, you're rejoicing in it, and I encourage you to lay hold of it and rejoice in it. And then you have the blessing, if you're justified, listen, number one, you have the blessing of the Holy Spirit sealing. Look at Romans 8, verse 9, and I'll read it. It says there, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I want to say to you tonight, if you have the testimony that you have been justified through faith in Jesus Christ, not only are you perfectly righteous in the sight of God, but the third person of the Trinity of God lives inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of your spirit. Your body is your physical, your soul is your personality, what makes you you, and your spirit is that which is in contact with God, and that part of you that was dead, that could not receive signals from God, that has been made alive by the Holy Ghost. And not only did the Holy Ghost make your spirit alive when you were justified and because you were justified, but now the Holy Ghost moves in. He moves in. Because you're married to Christ. Kyle just moved in, and Bacola moved in with Kyle, and they can live together. Why? Because they're married. You don't live with somebody before you're married. That's wrong. Sinful. Jesus won't live in your heart by the Holy Spirit until you're justified, until you're married to him. He's not going to violate his own word. But thank God, when you have justification, you do have the Holy Spirit living in your life, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. In fact, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, if you keep making the Holy Spirit sad through unconfessed sin, if you keep making the Holy Spirit sad by failing to avoid what you cannot resist, in other words, you put yourself in the place where you're going up and down on the diving board and on the high dive, and then you jump out and you expect God to stop you from hitting the water. It's not going to happen. You put yourself in the place where you're not avoiding what you cannot resist, and now you're going to get into sin. But God says that you are sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. And that means that the Holy Spirit is the seal. When a king wanted to send a letter with something important in it, he would put a wax seal on it and put his insignia on it. And nobody was allowed to break that seal until the person for whom that letter was meant opened it and broke the seal. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is in every true believer until the day that Jesus takes you up and you meet the Lord in the air. You're sealed. I think of the Wizard of Oz. Remember the Wicked Witch there? She tried to get Dorothy's shoes, and it sparked like that's old Wizard of Oz, you know, and it sparked up. The Holy Spirit, devil can't take your salvation. Devil can't take and break that seal in your life. But you can grieve the Holy Spirit and lose the comfort and the joy. And how do you grieve the Holy Spirit? When you don't believe God, believe His Word, that grieves the Holy Spirit. When you don't love others, that grieves the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And yet you have this blessing in your life. Oh, what an important thing it is to recognize I have the third person of the Trinity dwelling in my life. As I was coming down to church tonight, I said, thank God I am alive in my spirit, and the Spirit of God is in me, and my soul and spirit are now living in the realm of life and light. And Lord, I yield myself to you, first of all, as a spiritual being to be used by you. And then I yield my body to you. I surrender my body to you to work through my body. See, the only way you can sin is through your body. And either you're moving forward with the Holy Spirit or you are allowing sin to take over your body. It's kind of like getting in an airplane. The law of gravity keeps pulling me down. In my body, there are sinful desires constantly presenting themselves. And just like the law of gravity takes that down, you'll go down into sin. But if you're following the leading of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God in your life, He is leading you in a higher law. What's that law? You put this book in an airplane and it overcomes the law of gravity. It's the law of aerodynamics. It overcomes that law of gravity. As you move forward, listen to me, and do what the Spirit of God would have you to do, you're overcoming that law of sin and death that wants to pull you down as sin operates in your body. And so you have the blessing of the Holy Spirit sealing you. And the Bible puts it this way. It says this, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You know what? before you're made alive in your spirit and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you can't understand spiritual things. They're foolish to you. Don't make any sense to you. We have a guy that recently got saved through Matt's bus route. I usually visit them every week. And this guy was trying to tell me about another guy who's been coming to this church that professed faith in Christ. But he was trying to explain, we need to pray for this guy. And he gave his name and said, we need to pray for him. I said, well, what's the problem? I couldn't hear him. I said, what's the problem? He said, well, he's distant from the Lord. He's distant. And I heard what he was saying. He had an understanding of what it meant to be close to the Lord and what it meant to be distant. He was trying to say he's backsliding. He's getting away from spiritual influences in his life. Now, that is foolishness to a person that does not have the Holy Spirit living in them. They do not understand spiritual truth. And that very thing that this man was talking about shows that he understands spiritual truth. And I was trying to talk to him today, texting him about him not getting distant and what he needed to do, because I could see the devil was trying to attack him to pull him away from walking close to God and walking with God. And you know what he said? Amen, Pastor. You're right. You're right. How do you see that? It's spiritually discerned. For you to understand a man of God preaching about these spiritual blessings and having any interest in it at all shows that you have new life in Jesus Christ. If you didn't have that new life in Christ, it would be foolishness to you. It would not make any sense whatsoever. I remember when I was born again between my junior and senior high school, I went back to Grand Rapids. I was born again in Muskegon, Michigan. I came back to Grand Rapids. I had a friend of mine that was a neighbor. His dad was a Methodist preacher. He was a lay preacher. He used to do square dances, corny guy, funny guy, his dad. And this guy was a funny guy. And he was just so straight-laced. Everything was right, you know. He was just a nice kid. But when I came back and I started talking to him about the things of the Lord, he had no clue what I was talking about. It was foolishness to him. He couldn't understand a message like this. His dad preached on just being good and moral, and that's all he talked about. But he didn't know about a personal relationship where the Holy Spirit of Jesus lives within you and gives you spiritual understanding. And what a difference that makes. I remember my best friend in high school, Bill. And when I got saved, I began to talk to Bill. And Bill, you know, he thought, you're not any fun anymore. You used to be fun. He'd be driving down the road, and I'd take a water balloon, and somebody's hitchhiking, and throw it out, and knock the... And the guy would... And he'd laugh. Well, you know, that was fun. And I said, I can't do that anymore. You know, we see girls coming to school, get up in the bathroom, and drop a water balloon, and... I can't do that anymore. And he's like, what happened to you? Used to be fun. Well, I got born again. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to love people. I want to help people. I'm born again. It's not just cruel jokes, you know. I get off on cruel jokes. No, that doesn't make me all excited. What makes me excited is spiritual things. And you know what? If that makes you excited, that's because you have the blessing of being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He can't do it because when God seals you with the Holy Spirit, it's till Jesus comes back again. You cannot lose your salvation. So feed your spiritual life. Feed your faith. feed your faith. Keep feeding that and strengthening that, and you will find out it works for you, and it will work in your life. And so you have the blessing of the Holy Spirit sealing. And notice what it says in verse 10, after he says that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of the Lord's. Verse 10, he says, if Christ be in you, of course he's speaking of by the Holy Spirit, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, what he's saying is, you've been declared righteous. If you put your faith in Christ, you've been declared righteous. So now the Spirit lives in your spirit, and you are in that realm of the Spirit. But your body is still dead. You're still dragging around a dead body. You can still sin through your body. Your body is still dead. It is not yet saved. But your spirit is alive and can never die. Isn't that a great blessing? My body can die. My body can die. Not invincible, but my spirit can't die. Because who can kill the Holy Ghost in me? You can't do it. And that's why Jesus said, I'm the resurrection of life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead physically, yet shall he live. His body will be raised. But he that liveth and believeth in me shall what? Never die. That's talking about the soul and spirit. It can never die. What a blessing. The world can't understand that. Perhaps you're here tonight and this is total foolishness to you. Doesn't make any sense at all. Boring, foolish, like I was bored to tears hearing a message in church. Bored to tears. Give me that water balloon. Give me that fun. But not anymore. Because I have spiritual life. And I hope that you do too. If you don't, you need to be born again, or you're going to split hell wide open, even from a church pew. There's a second blessing that you can be assured of that you have if you're justified through faith. You have the blessing of the same Holy Spirit leading you to mortify sin in your mortal body. Look at verse 12 of Romans chapter 8. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You see, because you're alive in your spirit, even though sin is operating in your body and will reign in your body if you let it, you're not obligated to listen to it anymore. You're no longer a slave of sin because Jesus has set you free. He's made you free. You don't have to listen to sin. But so many believers put themselves in the place where they listen to sin, and it goes against God's purpose for your life. And he's saying that if the Holy Spirit is in you, the Holy Spirit is leading you to put down those desires in your body that are against God's will and against God's word. You see, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, God leads you, listen, to nip sin in the bud. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're like the Jews of old. Paul said, I serve God, but I didn't serve him in my spirit. I served him in the letter of the law. In other words, oh, as long as I didn't commit adultery physically, I'm all right. As long as I didn't murder somebody, I'm all right. But if I hate somebody in my heart, well, nobody can see it. It's just in my own heart. I can nourish that in my heart. Oh, as long as I don't commit adultery physically, I can commit it in my heart, and my eyes can be filled with adultery. You see, if you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you can't do that anymore. God won't allow you to get away with that. And if you try to get away with secret sin, like David did, for about a year after he committed that sin, you'll get chastened by God. Financial chastening, physical sickness, some kind of chastening by God will come upon you because you're going against God's purpose for your life. And the purpose is that He's given you the Holy Spirit to strangle, to deaden those spiritual desires. So when that old remains of the old man comes out of the coffin, you give it a shot of heavenly formaldehyde by the Spirit to put it down. In other words, you just move ahead with God and you'll be mortifying sin in your life. You can do that through the Spirit, you see. God said you can do that. You don't have to feed that flesh. There's two dogs fighting in you, a dirty, feces-filled, smelly dog and a clean, nice-smelling dog, and they're fighting, and the one that you feed is the one that's going to win in that fight. But God said you don't have to feed. You're not obligated to feed that old temporary flesh that operates through your body, because when your body dies, you'll be able to sin no more. And when your body is glorified, you won't be able to sin anymore. And so that's the second blessing he's talking about here. Not only the blessing of the Spirit sealing you permanently until the day of redemption, but the blessing of the Spirit, listen to me, leading you to mortify sin. Do you know anything about that in your life? Do you know? You know, I think of my wife when she got led to the Lord, West Palm Beach, Florida, by Andy Coons, with the help of his brother. And after she believed and was saved, my wife came back to Andy and she said, "Andy, I don't think I'm saved." And he said to her, "Well, what's wrong?" She said, "I'm just sinning all the time." And he said, "Well, are you doing things differently than you did before?" And she said, "No, it's just that I'm seeing sin everywhere in my life." You see, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit turns on the light. You begin to realize you got a lot of dirt in your apartment, in your house, that needs to be cleaned up. The light is on, and if you are not concerned about cleaning the inside of the dish, just the outside, if you're not concerned about getting the dirt from under the rug cleaned out, as my wife calls it, deep cleaning. You ladies, you know about deep cleaning. Me, I don't care about deep cleaning. When my wife's gone, it's just surface cleaning. She comes home, deep cleaning's going on. I just try to get by. But spiritually speaking, I'm concerned about deep cleaning in my life. You see, if I regard iniquity in my heart, what does the Bible say? The Lord will not hear me. And you as a Christian, you start feeding that monkey on your back, you might find out that's just a baby gorilla. And pretty soon it's going to start strangling you. You just been feeding it Chiquita bananas. That's what it means to regard iniquity. I feed that anger. I feed that bitterness. I said, I feed that bitterness. I feed that unbelief. I feed it. And it will strangle you. And if you're a believer, God says, "No, you can't get away with that. I won't let you get away with that anymore." And Andy said, "Well, that just shows that now the Holy Spirit's moved into your life because He's leading you to get rid of deep, clean sin out of your life." And He will do that with the washing of water, with the Word of God. He will do that in your life if you let Him do that. And if you feed that new man and get away from feeding the old man and doing anything that will strengthen the old flesh that's still from the old man left over. So I'm saying, number one, you have the Holy Spirit sealing you until the final completion of your salvation. You have the blessing of the Holy Spirit leading you to mortify sin in your life. And that's what Brother Matt was talking about. Because sin is not just things that you do. Sin is sin of omission. He knows he should be going out and working hard in the cold, going up to Vanling. And guess what? God blesses that work. God blesses that work. When Christian and I went out Thursday night, Christian could say, I'm just going to stay home and relax. I'm working hard. No, the Holy Spirit was leading him, listen to me, to put down that old flesh that says, stay home, stay warm, just relax. Put it down. Put it down. And do what God is leading you to do. That's the Christian life. It's not just the repression of the old man's deeds. It's the expression also of the new man. And that's what we're talking about here. That God wants you to go forward and do these things. And why is it called the Spirit of Christ? Because you're doing these things in the power of the Holy Spirit, at the behest of the Holy Spirit. But you're doing it for whom? Jesus Christ. To put a smile on his face. Not because you go to hell if you don't do it. To put a smile on his face. And to assure yourself, yes, that you are born of God. You are a child of God. But there's a third thing. I hasten. You have the blessing of this third blessing. Look with me at verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It would be enough just to go to heaven, wouldn't it? Not to go to hell. That would be a blessing. We deserve to go to hell. All of us do. It'd be enough just to get into heaven and be a servant in heaven and not burning in the fire of hell. But God said, no, I'm adopting you into the royal family. My son is the King of Kings. He is going to reign over the world. It's not going to the rich oligarchs of this world. It's not going to Jeff Bezos. Check it out. It's not going to Mark Zuckerberg. It's going to God's children. That's the blessing of being adopted into God's family. You are not just a foster kid. You are an heir. An heir of God, it says in Romans 8, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You say, what are you talking about? When Jesus was born, according to Psalm 2, God said, this is my son. Today I have begotten thee. That is not a reference to the resurrection. It's a reference to the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. And he said, ask of me, and I shall do what for you? I shall do what for you?
Give you the heathen as thine inheritance.
Give you the heathen nations as thy inheritance. You think the Son asked for that? Yes, he did. Now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are Christ's younger brother and sister. You are in the royal family. You will rule and reign with him. Check it out. You'll judge angels. You say, where is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. You say, these blessings are out of this world. Don't be staggered by what God said. Don't be staggered by the amazing grace of God. None of us deserve it. But faith reaches out with empty hands and embraces what God said for his elect. And say, that's mine. That's mine. And don't be afraid to take it. He's offering it. And so you have the blessing of adoption. And the final thing I want to say, and I'll wrap it up. You have the blessing of the hope of glory. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor, the hope of glory? Go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It's talking about the Spirit being in you and assuring you that you're sealed until all that. But look at verse 11 of Romans 8. It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, we live in these vile bodies. Body odor. Halitosis. You ever heard of that? Balding. Tooth decay. The Apostle Paul said we live in these vile bodies. He left us these bodies that are not yet saved and can sin. But he's going to give a facelift of facelifts. I'm amazed at people, how they age, present company included. Looking at younger pictures and just like, wow. But you know what? You know what? He is going to change in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15:52. By the Holy Spirit who's now in you, that body, he's going to do that miracle on your body so it'll never get sick, never get old. It will be glorious. But wait a minute. After he does that, he's going to do something else. And you know what he's going to do? It says it in Romans 8 here. He's going to lift the curse off the creation. Right now you put a lion with a lamb and that lion's going to sink its teeth into that lamb, and that just reminds you of the curse and sin and suffering. You watch these animal shows and how they prey on one another. That reminds you of the curse and suffering. But the Bible says when we get our liberty, the liberty that we're going to get is when our bodies are saved. Mark it down. It's going to happen to every one of the justified when Christ comes back. First thing. After that, he's going to deliver this world from the curse. And the lion and the lamb will lie down together. The poisonous cobra, a child, a two-year-old child will play with a poisonous cobra snake. And no harm will come to that child. Now some dumb charismatics think that's now, and they play with snakes in their services, thinking, oh, that's for us now. No, that's an apostolic sign gift of the kingdom. But these guys are dying, these guys that handle these snakes. Let me tell you, I've been familiar with these groups that do that. They kill one another off. But when this blessing happens, you will see it fulfilled. It will be real. It won't be dumb, uninformed faith. It'll be the real thing. We're going to see the whole creation lifted from the curse. Have you ever noticed summer comes and everything is blooming and blossoming and it's great. And then what happens? Fall comes and things begin to fall off and the leaves die. And then it's all bare. And then what happens? Winter comes and it's cold and covers it with light. That's where we are right now. But wait a minute. Spring's going to come again. And that reminds us, oh, it's lifting off. And then summer, oh, it's coming to full bloom. But then it starts dying again. You can't get out of that cycle. Why? Because we're not yet glorified. The curse is still on the creation called the creature until Christ, by the Holy Spirit living in you, glorifies your body. But it will happen. So you realize that you have the blessing of the Holy Spirit living within you and guaranteeing to you that you are sealed until that final day. You have the Holy Spirit in you to work with you to put sin out of your life, even in the inner part. And you also can say you have the blessing of God in your life has given you an adoption into the royal family. It doesn't, the people of the world don't yet see it. You say, what will happen that will show the world that you are adopted? Brother Jose looks like any other person, except beautiful. But wait a minute. You could be next to another person and look like any other person. Just like Jesus. Didn't he look like an ordinary man? But when he went onto the Mount of Transfiguration, what happened? His inner deity shined and his robe became so white, it became more white than any. It was just shining and the disciples saw it. When Jesus comes back and he glorifies your body, people will look at you and in a moment your body will suddenly start shining and they'll realize, listen to me, they'll realize you're in the royal family. This is a royal family. I'm not talking about a secret rapture. That's a lie. It's not your clothes are left. No, they will see your body glorified. That's called the adoption. What that means is not that that's when your adoption, but now you come into your inheritance when you're glorified. That's coming, friend. God wants you to hope in that. When you say hope in it, that means something in the future that you know is going to happen. It's not, I hope so. No, it's a no-so future. That's what it means. And that glory is coming, and when that comes, the people will see you lift off. You know, how many have ever seen the missiles lift off from Cape Kennedy and Cape Canaveral? Lift off. You will then lift off. Angels will be with you, accompany you. They'll be your servants. You are the royal family. You'll meet the king in the air, and he'll get ready. So that's why we shouldn't act like children right now, squabbling over problems and running our mouth. I see Christians running their mouth all the time, and they're leaking because they're running their mouth, saying things they shouldn't say. It's not helpful. The Bible says you're going to run the world. You're going to order angels around. How much more now should you use wisdom and act like a royal person in training? May God help us to appreciate these great blessings of our salvation. Let's bow for prayer. Before we take the Lord's table and give him the glory, I wonder if you've been in